Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. Now in two great tropical flavors. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show on radio.com/home, or search Home on the radio.com app. Ross, how are you, man?
Adam, I'm fantastic, and I'm getting more and more intrigued by Joe Burrow and the comments he's making right now, bro.
You know, it's funny that you say, because I happen to be, I don't know if you know, Ross, but I happen to be a Bengals fan. I grew up, and I, you know, everybody here knows this, and I'm a self-loathing Bengals fan. I grew up a Bengals fan, even though I grew up in New York. My dad was a big fan. He loved Paul Brown. He was a Browns fan as a kid. And when Paul Brown started the Bengals, he jumped ship with them, you know. But, you know, the Bengals, there's a lot of truth to what Carson Palmer said. That being said, though, the Bengals have been a more successful organization than a few others, including the Browns, in recent years. If Joe Burrow pulls this with the Bengals, like, what is the point of the Bengals existing anymore?
So, first of all, I can't believe you're on Cleveland radio every day as a Bengals fan.
But I hate them. I love them, but I hate them.
Got it. Second of all, I can't believe you grew up in New York and you were a Bengals fan.
Yeah, but that's not that uncommon. Well, the Bengals.
Forget whatever else we were going to talk about. Yeah. I could do the whole rest of your show now on talking about those two things.
Cubs and Bengals. Ross, Cubs and Bengals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where in New York?
In Brooklyn.
Oh, my gosh.
But that, you know,
that is crazy. That's just bad parenting.
But it's, you know, in New York, it's not like the Bengals are uncommon. But in New York, where I grew up, a lot of my friends rooted for other teams. One of my friends was a Steelers fan. Another one of my friends is a Cowboy fan.
I mean, yeah, but everybody's Mets or Yankees.
It's more in baseball. Yes, it's more unusual in baseball. I agree with you there.
Yeah, football, I can see you being one of the other ones.
Yeah.
But what's weird is, like, the latest comments. Like, Burrow was asked if he wants to play for the Bengals, and he's like, hey, listen, you know, there's a process here, and they'll go through their process, I'll go through my process. Like, what is he talking about?
I don't know.
I am really not understanding the logic. Like, if you don't want to play for the Bengals, I think the move is to say that. If you do want to play for the Bengals, the move is to be like, I am all in on being a Bengal. I want to be the number one pick. I should be the number one pick. I'm from Ohio. I want to play for the Bengals. But if you don't, like, if you want to pull an Eli Manning or whatever, and you want to be like, yeah, I really need to consider my options, and I'm not sure that's the best fit. He's like trying to do this like middle ground thing, which I think is really awkward, and I don't understand it. And if I were a Bengals fan, right about now I'd be starting to get pissed off. Like, right about now I'd be like, dude, just say it. Like, just say what you want to say. Stop beating around the bush. He's like, I have leverage. No, you don't, Joe. You really don't. I mean, your leverage would be sitting out the whole year. You're not doing that, dude. Your dad's not Archie Manning. You're not sitting out the whole year if the Bengals draft you the number one pick.
Yeah, he definitely could have just closed the door on the conversation.
And the Bengals would make him rot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Let's get to Mike Tomlin.
Jonathan, sorry. I didn't mean to jump you.
Are you fine?
That's exactly what they would do, which would be unbelievable. The Bengals, and maybe that's why he doesn't want to go to the Bengals in the first place. Yeah. The Bengals would be the one team that would be like, hey, we'll just have you sit and do nothing the whole year. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's get to Mike Tomlin here, Ross, because I think him talking matters on First Take yesterday. He doesn't speak out often. In the offseason, he puts tape over his mouth, and you just don't hear from him. What do you make of him defending Mason Rudolph?
You know, very clearly, they believe Mason Rudolph, and they don't believe Myles Garrett point blank. And I think that Tomlin felt like some things are beyond football, because I got to tell you, like, I don't really think they even care that much about Mason Rudolph anymore as a player. You know, like maybe he's their backup next year. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But Ben's obviously the starter, and I don't even like Mason Rudolph. I'm not sure I like him as a backup. But I think Tomlin felt like it was, A, the right thing to do, and, B, that Mason Rudolph, it was the right thing to do from a head coach standpoint and from a human being standpoint, and that he just doesn't believe Myles Garrett, feels like other people from the Browns organization would have mentioned stuff to him after the game, and also didn't like that it was presented, I know he said this, as a he said, when the NFL and all the investigation and they have whatever their video evidence or whatever, but it is very, very out of character. And I wonder if Mason Rudolph asked him to do it, if veterans on the team, you know, like if like big dogs on the team asked him to do it, then he probably felt like, okay, I need to do this. I think it's very, very interesting on a lot of different levels. Like I was thinking about it just from my perspective, right? And I already played pretty hard anyway. I was already aggressive. And when you're out there, Myles Garrett's one of the best pass rushers in the league. You know, he's already going to be the guy that you double and a marked man and all that. But I guess I kind of feel like if I were really tight with Mason Rudolph, like, and I really believed him and really thought Myles Garrett was lying and saying that he did something that he didn't do, man, I feel like if anything, for at least those two games, Myles Garrett's putting even more of a bullseye on his chest. But he obviously believes it happened, or otherwise he wouldn't be doing it in the first place anyway, so he doesn't care. I don't really understand the logic of Myles Garrett doing the interview. Like, we all kind of moved past it. We weren't talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
If someone asked me, hey, did he call you that? I feel like whether he did or not at this point, I mean, if he didn't, I definitely would have been like, look, I'm moving on. I said what I said, I'm moving on. But even if he did, I feel like I'd say, I said what I said, I'm moving on. Like either way, I would say that. So I love to understand Myles' logic, or, you know, what his marketing or agent people, I guess they're trying to maybe rehab his image. I don't know.
But I don't think his image needed rehabbing either way, because I think, like you said, I think everybody was over it. Listen, we don't know. The only people that know for sure what happened, Ross, are those two guys, right? I know some of the Steelers' offensive linemen were close, but there was a moment where they're down on the ground, and we don't know exactly what was said. I think something else that is a possibility that nobody has acknowledged, or I haven't heard anybody mention this, isn't it possible that Mason Rudolph said something and Myles Garrett heard something else? You know what I mean? I think that's possible.
That's honestly my new working theory. I said that on Home and Home yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
I really think it's possible that, you know, when you're in a, you know, scuffle like that, that Mason Rudolph said something, and that's what Myles Garrett heard, or that's what Myles Garrett thought he said. So they could both be telling their own truths, if that makes sense, right?
It's possible.
Like Mason Rudolph
yes.
knows he didn't say it, and Myles Garrett could say, I know what I heard, right? Which,
right.
I don't know. I'm sure if we got the audio, we probably couldn't even really tell what it was. But because I don't think – I mean, Dorsey came out, and Dorsey doesn't really have a reason. Is Dorsey anywhere, by the way?
No.
Well, Dorsey commented yesterday and
yeah.
said that he
I mean, he's not on a team, I meant.
Right, no, he's not on a team.
No, he's not on a team.
It's
going to
be
yeah.
that Dorsey doesn't really have a horse in the race anymore.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, he doesn't have a reason to lie for Myles. And he came out and said Garrett told him that night that he issued the racial slur, right?
Yes. And I just can't believe that Myles Garrett would make this up. I don't think it makes any sense, especially as you say. Why would he have brought it up again? Like, once he did this interview after he got reinstated, right? Right after he got
reinstated. Right after he got reinstated. That's cool. The timing. That's why he did it.
So, it doesn't make sense, like, that he would, even if by some theory he had made it up when he initially said it, if you're going with that working theory that he made it up, I don't believe that, but if you're going with that theory, then it would, once he gets reinstated, there'd be no reason to talk about it and bring it up again if you had made it up. And if you're so I have to assume he's telling the truth. And I just can't, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm not saying, again, I think either it was, in my opinion, I think it was either said or whatever was said was misunderstood, as I said there.
But he did the interview after he got reinstated, and I thought for the sole reason not to repurpose everything around Mason Rudolph, it was to pretty much say the NFL covered this up. The NFL, there was audio out there. I know there was audio out there.
Right.
The NFL bungled this, and they screwed me over in the process. That's what I thought he was doing.
Maybe.
Okay, so here's my question. And I know he got asked this before, and I forget how he answered it, but why did he not say it after the game?
He alluded to it.
Like, why was he so calm and so, repentive for what he did? Like, why would he not have said it then? Like, I cannot imagine a scenario whereby someone does something that awful and you got 50 people around your locker being like, dude, why did you just hit a guy with a helmet? And you wouldn't say, because he called me a racial slur.
Yeah, in my eyes, and how I see it, is that Miles did allude to it after that. But I thought, you know, in a world where Lindsay Lohan pops out of her head and TMZ has it covered, he rolled the dice and was thinking, okay, this will get out. I promise this will get out, and I don't have to be the one that points the finger. I'll let the process play itself out. And clearly then no audio ever surfaced, and it just
who knows?
That might be possible, Jonathan, but that's really bad logic. Like, that's really a bad decision, because at least in the court of public opinion, things would be a lot different if after the game
he had said,
it doesn't condone my actions, but he called me a racial slur and I lost it. If he said it right after the game, I think most people would believe him.
Yes, I agree with
you. But because he didn't say it after the game, most people don't believe him.
Well, remember, Josina Anderson had the tweet. She put out the tweet that pretty much went towards that direction, and then everyone just freaked out and lost their mind on it. And it's such a sensitive thing. I can see both sides of it, Ross. It's very tough.
Weird. Yeah, I think Adam's suggestion is the most likely, because either way it's awful, right? Like,
yes.
if you said that is absolutely horrific. If you are saying a guy said that when he didn't, that's even worse. I mean, that's absolutely horrific, and it didn't even happen. So I'm going with my current working theory that it's like a happy medium, that Rudolph said something, and that's what Garrett thought he said. I just can't imagine, like, I mean, Rudolph's been in the NFL a couple of years. He played at Oklahoma State. Like, he's from South Carolina. Like, I just cannot imagine that he would say that. Like, I mean, I don't care how mad you are, I don't think he would say that at all, let alone on an NFL field with a bunch of NFL players around
him. But you never know. Who could have guessed that Myles Garrett would smash him in the coconut with the helmet? You wouldn't have guessed that either, you know? So you never know when you get angry. Sometimes you say stupid things. Like, again, I don't know. The whole thing's cute. Ross, real quick, because we're out of time, but real quick, Tom Brady, what in your opinion do you think is going to happen? How is this going to resolve itself?
I still think he goes back to New England. Kraft just wants it to happen so much that's the difference. You know, Kraft never stepped in on the other dudes, and Belichick was like, see ya, Seymour, see ya, Ty Law, see ya, Willie McGinnis, see ya, Vrabel, but Brady's different.
Yeah.
And Kraft has already stepped in once with the Jimmy G thing. I think that's the difference. I think he wants them to arrive at that place on their own. But if they don't, I think he's good, man. He's slick. I'm like, he's like the best owner. He got the CBA done. Like, he knows how to get stuff done. I think he gets it done in the end, if he has to, some way, somehow broker something between Belichick and Brady.
Ross, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. See you, dude.